Blog Talk Radio.
Well, peace and blessings. This is your hostess, Bree, and you have reached Bree Life Radio. Tonight, we're talking about disclosure. Disclosure of relationships and how we define disclosure and what we reveal to one another when we're entering into a relationship. You know, disclosure is defined in many ways. Some people define disclosure as being a revelation of information that was previously kept a secret, or a piece of information that is revealed after being a secret. It's funny. In a lawsuit, disclosure is a process of sharing information between both sides. It's a requirement that each side must provide copies of all documents to the other side before a trial or the process of fulfilling this requirement. Disclosure is also looked at in other ways. World disclosure is a term that is referring to the way that humans make sense of the world. Or reflective disclosure is a term coined by philosophy. Disclosure, by any means, still needs to happen between two people that are engaging one another and choose to be in a relationship. A couple of things. In my assessment, it's an act or a process of revealing or undiscovering. But it's pertinent in definition. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about disclosure and how we should exercise it. But before we do, there's a couple of announcements I want to make. First of all, I want to thank the listeners and the callers for making the show a success. If you want to continue to follow Bree Life Radio, if you want to suggest Bree Life Radio to anyone, you can tell them that they can follow Bree Life Radio at Facebook. They can follow Bree Life Radio at Twitter. And also, you can send your show ideas, your opinions, questions, or concerns to BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com. So, As to the announcements, I want to give some birthday shout-outs. I want to give a birthday shout-out to my friend Michelle Braxton, my very good friend Daniel Ivy, and to my cousin Varen Steffens. So having shared some of the announcements, we're going to have some announcements towards the end of the show. Let us talk about disclosure. Please feel free to call in to Bree Life Radio at 424-220-1862. Again, that number is 424-220-1862. I think we have a few callers calling in. But here's one question I'd like to pose before we go to the callers. What does disclosure actually mean? I know that I've given some definitions, but I want us all to think about that. And when you're calling in, kind of share what you feel disclosure actually is. And if you have a story to share about something that happened as a lack of disclosure that was exercised or too much disclosure had been shared, let us know. Oh, actually, I've been sent a note that I should give a call to someone, so bear with me while I make a phone call. I think the first person we'll be calling is Big C from Philadelphia.
Hello, you have reached Carl S. Moore, Jr. At the tone, please leave your message, and I'll return your call.
Well, as usual, Carl, Big C, you is usually having technical difficulties, so we're going to go to our next caller, who's most famous on Bree Life Radio. I think you'll all know him by the sound of his voice.
Hi, you have reached 651-216-7976. Well,
what
is at the tone, please leave your...
What is going on? Peace and blessings. You've reached Bree Life Radio. I'm your hostess, Bree, who may I have the pleasure of speaking to.
Hi, this is your school old friend, Michelle. I'm just calling in to
we
say hello.
Love. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm okay.
Well, tonight on Bree Life Radio, we're talking about disclosure.
Okay.
And even though you're a seasoned married woman, you weren't always married.
Right.
And I'm sure that you have a lot of single friends, and I'm sure you hear them complaining, both on the male and the female side, about the things that are not disclosed at the beginning of the relationship. What do you think about that? What do you think that should be disclosed in the first 30 days?
First 30
what
days?
What types of things?
I would say honesty. I would say if you're married, if you're single, or you want to be committed in a relationship.
Okay, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
When you say now, let's touch on the married thing.
Okay.
Do you find that people are not disclosing fully what their marital status is? Do you find that your single friends often complain about that?
Oh, if they find out if the person is married and they didn't inform them in the beginning,
right.
Because sometimes I think some women maybe just want to be in a relationship with someone that they're compatible with, and they don't want to ask the question. And then sometimes they do ask the questions, but the male will lie to them or beat around it or don't have a answer the question, and then the woman has to figure out, is he married or isn't he married?
Okay. And what other types of things do you think that should be disclosed in the first 30 days? You said marriage. You said whether or not the person wants to be in a relationship. That's very interesting because we've had some, I don't know if you've been following the shows from the very beginning, but we have a regular caller. His name is Mark from Houston, Texas. He's quite famous. And he has a perspective. Yes, I'm sure you would love to meet him. I actually hope he jumps on the line before you hang up, but he has a perspective that, as long as you're telling everyone, if let's say you're dating two or three women at the same time, he feels that he's quite interesting, right? He feels that the disclosure of that to each woman, he feels that he's exonerated by his actions of honesty because he's disclosing to each one of these people that he's dating other people and that if they catch feelings, like, us New Yorkers say, if their feelings get caught, if the women's feelings get caught, it's the woman's responsibility for how she feels. What say you, Squeaky Love?
I wouldn't say it's her responsibility. Boy, that's a good one. Well, put it this way, if he put it out there that he is dating three women at the same time, right then and there on the spot, you have to make your decision whether you want to deal with this person or not. So if you continue to deal with this person, then you put yourself to me in that situation because he already let you know from the beginning. And then sometimes women will be in denial and figure, okay, well, he's dating three women, but I'm going to be the one. And that's not always going to happen. And then you got to question him, like, well, why do you want to be dating three women at one time?
Well, he equates it, and I quote from a previous show, and I made note that it's like having multiple choices on a plate. He feel. I guess
so
he feels he can
have three people to choose.
Right. So he can have white meat and dark meat and a rib. Some collard greens, some macaroni and cheese, some candy sweet potato. And
so
a biscuit.
He wants,
and if he really wanted to go over the edge, he could have a piece of cornbread. Yeah.
He's deep.
Yeah,
wow.
He's deep. I hope this deep brother jumps on the line. I think he's fur, like they say down south. I think he's fur. That's why he ain't on the phone.
Oh, he don't want to mess with Squeaky Love because I'm like, wow.
He don't want to rock with Squeaky. He can't rock with Squeaky Love, but that's okay. Marfa, Houston, Texas. He taking his sweet time. He's trying to get this. He thinks he's, I think he's listening in the background and waiting for us to become quite engaged so that he can make his grand entrance. But that's quite all right.
This is too funny. This is very interesting and exciting because I never did anything like this before, so this is something.
Well, okay, let's further examine that point. Now, I know it's a stress for you, Squeak, you know, but try to think of yourself as being single. And encountering someone such as Mark from Houston, Texas.
Because as soon as he told me he's dating three other people, no, it ain't happening. Because that's how I roll.
Right.
Even I'd be like, oh, that's good that you're honest and all of that. And then I'll be asking questions, well, why and this and that. And, well, what do you want from me? That's what how I'll be questioning it.
Well, here's
that,
the thing.
You know,
I think that I think Mark from Houston, Texas, rather likes engaging conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't speak much more on because I couldn't begin to gather what he would, you know, really want from each one of these individuals, But actually, what he wants dark meat, he wants light meat, he wants baked chicken, he wants fried chicken,
he wants variety.
He wants a rib.
he wants variety, so make sure he don't be feel left out with nothing, huh?
Yeah, he wants to test to see what's really going on. And then he feels once he's, you know, tasted a little bit of everything, he can make an informed decision.
Oh, then he said he can make a decision. So did
right.
he ever think about what if one of those women was saying that they were dating three other people, then how would he take that?
Well, from notes from past conversations on Bree Life Radio, it's my understanding that Mark would not have a problem. Because we've identified the term as move around, you know.
Okay.
Where if you don't like what's going on over here, move around.
Okay.
You know, and then when you get over there, if you don't like what's going on over there, move around.
Oh, and
you know?
They say like keep it moving.
Keep it moving, but you know, the Bree Life Radio term is move around.
Okay.
So that's pretty much where he is with that. Tell me, what do you think about other issues? Like for what I was thinking, like in the first 30 days, are health issues?
Yeah, that's
issues
important.
That you want to disclose.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah,
if
that's
you're,
important.
You know, if you have hepatitis, if you have HIV, if you have cancer, if you have some debilitating joint disease that will find you wheelchair bound in the next 5 years. I mean, are these the types of health issues that you feel that in 30 days should really be disclosed?
Yeah, that's true. And then you got to see if the person even wants kids, or can the person have kids. And
do you feel that, because, you know, a lot of us are in our middle age area, but what about those that are still able or in a place that they want to have more children? Do you
then
feel that in the first 30 days it's appropriate to bring that up? Or do you feel, because, okay, like, you missed our show last week, The Rules of Engagement. You know how I feel about The Rules of Engagement, right? You know, that's my favorite thing, right? So, you know, I'm a big football fanatic. And when asked what were my rules of engagement, I explained it as being four quarters of football.
Okay.
And certain things happen, right. And every 3 months, something, there's supposed to be discovery and then a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the discussion, if we both have a meeting of the minds, we elevate to the next quarter. And the same thing, discovery and discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have another meeting of the minds, elevate to the next quarter. Because because in my opinion, it's about winning. We both are supposed to be winning throughout the whole rule of engagement. Because ultimately, the goal is to wind up together. And
right.
And I feel as long as two people are working cohesively together for that goal, then you have a winning combination.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to keep it. But you have to keep full disclosure going on during the entire discovery phase, because it's not going to work. As soon as you start lying and misrepresenting, we know about the representative, right? As soon as that representative, usually the representative walks right in the door on day one.
Oh, my goodness.
And anybody who knows me knows I've been talking about the representative for 20 years. The representative. So.
The mother.
What'd you say?
The mother?
I've been talking about the representative for 20 years. The representative is the individual that you meet in the beginning.
Okay.
And they always come to the table through the door. They come through the door and sit down at the table, usually saying all the things that they think you want to hear to reel you in. And the representative usually reveals him or herself within the first 90 days. Because the average person can't keep the representative going. unless they're a sociopath, the average person can't keep the representative going beyond 90 days.
Wow.
So, So, what other issues might you think are important to discuss in the first 30 days? I was thinking, now this is something I hear a lot, and also living in the D.C. metro area, because I learned that there's a different culture of people in that area than in New York. Two totally different mindsets. Unless you're a transplant, unless you're a New Yorker that moved to Maryland, you are really, the thinking is different. So here's what I want to ask you, because I found it interesting that the people, that many women and men that live down there, thought that it was important to disclose finances.
That's
your financial stability within the first 30 days? And what? Do you disclose that while dating versus entering into a relationship? Or do you wait until you know that you're about to, what I say, cross into Jordan, disclose? What do you think?
Well, on those 30 days, it might mean a lot, but maybe in them 30 days it ain't going to be that serious, but they should know if you have a job, if you live with your mother.
So, by yourself. Right. So you would say employment.
Right.
Your employment status is important to know within the first 30 days.
Right.
Okay. What
and
about
then
your credit?
If they are going to be dating you and they don't have employment, how are they going to be taking you out unless you're going to be doing things that's not costly?
Well, then you really needed to call in to Freestyle Thursdays, which is coming up tomorrow. Freestyle Thursdays will be at 9 p.m. And when we do, your freestyle is discussing anything that comes to mind. No holds barred. Oh, yes. There's no format for that even. But on our last freestyle show, we touched on the area of, Is it cool to be dating when you're unemployed? Now, we know that because of the economic climate that we're living in, where unemployment has bordered double digits for a handful of years, that the economy is really bad. So does man live by bread alone because he not making any bread? Or, do you find some creative ways to date when you're not financially healthy or gainfully employed? What do you think about that? Because that's a part of the disclosure.
I think that's on the individual because maybe some males might feel they don't want to be going out and dating if they, don't have a job or, can't handle their finances. Why would they get involved with somebody when they're trying to get their own life together?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, that's a lot. Because then why would you want to be in a relationship with this person, but then how are you financing if you're going to be a couple and to be living together or going that forward to be married? Then how are you going to start that if in the beginning you don't have anything to, put up front on the plate?
Well, it's interesting that you would talk about that because I know two people in particular that went through some challenges because of being in a relationship with people while not being employed and the challenges that it presented. I'll speak more to the woman than the other person who happened to be a man. The woman was already dealing with financial challenges when she met the man.
Oh, okay.
And she fully disclosed that she was going through financial challenges. This person stated to her it didn't matter. And convinced her over a 6 to 9 month period that it didn't matter so much that he couldn't help her and help himself because they were living in two separate places. So he said, I can help you, but you're going to have to come and be with me, which means that this person had to give up their level of security, being around their family and friends, and move in his comfort zone. So by doing that, it put her in a very vulnerable situation. Now, again, He said that I will help you and I will help improve your life because you're coming to be with me. I love you. You love me. We're going to be together and we're going to make things work. Once this woman, this very vulnerable woman, might I ask, Chad, went to stay with him, shortly thereafter, I'd say, from what I was told, about a 3 to 6 month period, where he explained to her that money didn't matter, that he had her. He, you know, how brothers say, I got you. He kept telling her, I got you, don't worry about it. And shortly thereafter, some maybe 3 months down the road, 5, 6 months down the road, he started complaining about things that he always been paying, like the cable bill. You know, or the water bill.
Okay.
Or, you know, so that's not right. If a person tells you that they got you and they know that you are not mooching and they know that you're trying to elevate yourself and to contribute the best way you can until you can do better, they should be supporting you. They shouldn't be tearing you apart. And a sort of a similar situation for the gentleman, you know. It's. But what I might add about these two people, what they did do with these individuals that they did not get in return is that they disclosed who and what was going on in their lives. And each one of these people on the flip side said, doesn't matter, I'll take you in, I'll help you, I love you, we're together, we're a team. But once you were in their comfort zone and things wasn't moving fast enough, the dynamic changed. Not a good feeling. So okay. What about the credit issue?
Oh yeah, that's a plus, because then bad credit, can't get no car, can't get no house, can't get a loan.
Well, I mean, is that something that you think that you
can... If it's workable, then, you know, and it's not that bad, okay, fine. But if it's that bad, you know, because then that's going to be a burden on the other person that their credit is not good, because then they might have things that they want in life, and then the other person might be holding them back or holding them down, because now that they have bad credit, they got to wait till they clean it up. And if cleaning up is an option, then you can, oh, that's okay. But if cleaning up is not an option, then it's not going to work.
So
when you're also when you're at a certain age in your life, you will feel that they will have it together, that you wouldn't have that problem. I mean, if they lost job, then you're going to have bad credit because you can't pay your bills. But at a certain point of your life, I think those things should be established already.
Okay. Now, that's fair, and I understand that's also coming from a place of a person that's been working on the same job for umpteen years. But wonder if that's not that person's story. Wonder if that person works for the private sector, and because of the economic climate, was laid off. Wonder if it worked for a financial institution. And they lost their job.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you do that, then you lost your job, and then, you couldn't pay your bills, and then that's the reason why you had that, you know, bad credit. Then that's workable if they able to get a job and clean it up. Okay, that's, you know. But you just have bad credit, you know, because you're not, you know, financially stable and you're not handling your business, as we say. Then that's on you, and you can't, you know, manage your own, you know, bills and everything. So those are like two different options.
Okay. Hold on, Squeaky. I think we have another caller.
Okay.
Peace and blessings. You have reached Bree Life Radio. I'm your hostess, Bree. Who may I have the pleasure of speaking with tonight?
Honestly.
Well, this is a happy moment for Bree Life Radio. I want to introduce our special guest caller. This is my aunt, my favorite aunt, Ethel Lee. Peace and blessings, Auntie. How are you this evening?
Right back at you, my dear darling. Right back at you. I was to the program, and it was very interesting with all of these different problems that these young ladies have. But I want to ask one question. What actually kind of man are they looking for? What are they looking for?
What are they looking for? Well, that's the question of the ages. And I want the callers or the listeners out there to call in and tell us, what are you looking for? Because that's really where it starts before the disclosure actually happens. So call into Bree Life Radio at 424-220-1862. Because we have a seasoned person on the phone, maybe she can share her years of experience with us to give us a better vantage point as to maybe what we should be looking for. Not you, Squeak, because we know that you were lucky. You found the love of your life. But for us single women that are still walking the earth surface, maybe we need to listen to a more senior person, and possibly they can give us a better vantage point as to maybe what we might be doing wrong. What do you think? You know, honestly, listen, you have a daughter, you got me, you got a bunch of nieces, you know other young women. And not even to speak specifically about us, but just as a whole, what do you think women in their 30s and 40s are doing wrong?
First of all, I think they should have a good sense of who they are and then make up their mind who it is that they, what they would like in their life. Are they interested in a hardworking man, a generous man? Should he be funny? Should he be kind? Should he be, what kind of man are you looking for?
Uh-huh.
And after that, what do you expect from him? Do you want him to phone you often or text message you? You know, you young people get text messages or you're going to date
you know how to text message?
No, I'm not into text message. I talk on the telephone.
Okay. Just for clarity, I just wanted to make sure you wasn't doing something that I wasn't aware of.
No. See, I'd love for it to be eyeball to eyeball, but since I can't have that, let me have your ear and let me hear you speak and I speak to you. And so these are the things you need to know what it is that you want in a man, really. Before you even consider any of them. What kind of commitment are you expecting? Do you want an open relationship? Do you want somebody to date exclusively, or should it be up for discussion? What kind of financial security do you expect this man to have? Do you want to be?
And that's a part of the disclosure, Auntie. You know, if we could speak to that. What do you think about disclosure?
First thing that you need to do is ask him. You need to find out what. First of all, if you find the man up until that point that you're interested in, then you should be asking, you need to find out who he is, what he does, and how much money he makes. That's something that you need to know.
Auntie, do you think that it's appropriate to ask that question? Or do you think it's appropriate to ask the man how much he makes in the first 30 days?
Well, he's going to ask you for something in the first 30 days.
Oh, I heard that.
I bet you it won't take him 30 days to ask you for something. The most pressing.
Okay.
Thing.
Okay.
Most precious thing that you have, I bet you he's going to ask you for that in less than 30 days.
Okay. That, well, you know what? You have a point. You have a point.
Good point.
What about the housing situation? Now, Auntie, I know that you have probably seen something that I've even experienced and that I've witnessed, how the economic circumstances of society right now has caused people to have to go home and live with their parents. Now, do you think that a person should be actively dating when they're living at home with their parents, and should they be bringing their girlfriends or their boyfriends home to hang out at mom's or dad's crib or their parents' crib? I mean, how do you feel about that?
First of all, if they don't have a job, they need to be spending most of their time, if not all of it, looking for a job. They don't have room or time to date and bring somebody to their mother's house, to sit up in their mother's house. I don't think I just can't even imagine such a thing. You don't have a job, and you're living with your mother, and then you're going to bring some kind of extra expenses on your mother, and you don't have a job, your parents, and you don't have a job. To me, it's disrespectful. I feel like you should be suing. A job, a way to earn a living, should be your first priority.
Okay. You know, I'm glad that you're on the line. And even though I'm about to cross into an area that isn't so much on the road of discovery that we're talking about tonight, but because you've known me from the day one, and you know the two people that I came from, and you came from the same era that they came from, I made a comment last week, and I want you to, because I kind of got jumped on by one of our most famous callers, Mark from Houston, Texas, and it was when I stated that I disclosed during a period of time in my life when I was unemployed, but I was dating, and yes, I was actively on my grind looking for a job, and I met a person, and he came to visit me on several different occasions, and each time he came to my house to visit me, now I'm cooking food and I'm still unemployed, I'm still eating, and I'm sharing my food with him. Every time he came to the house, he never had anything in his hand. He never had a bottle of soda or a loaf of bread. And when I said that, Mark from Houston, Texas got on me because he stated that I said, you know, I wondered if this person was raised by wolves, because where I came from, and you know where I came from, we were taught that you don't go to people's house empty-handed. Now, I did some research this week because Mark from Houston, Texas made a comment that maybe it's a cultural thing, that, you know, this person never stopped to think that bringing a loaf of bread or a bottle of Coke
was an appropriate thing to do. But, you know, in most of the cultures of the world, always bringing something to your guest house is an appropriate act of etiquette. What say you, Aunt Ethelie?
I say this. You are not employed, and you invite someone to your house, to your home. They know that you're not employed. They should come in with a bag of groceries. So nobody has to tell them they're going to sit down and eat. They should have called you up to find out if there was anything that you needed or wanted and bring it when they come.
Yeah.
That's what I...
Well,
it has to do with culture. Mm-hmm. It has to do with common sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that also goes back to, let's touch back on the points of disclosure. My friend Michelle and I, we were speaking earlier about the things that should be disclosed. Like I stated that health issues and limitations
were important. Very definitely. You need to know certainly what the person's health is. You need to know what kind of, you know, you need to know what it is. That's
okay. Okay. And here's another topic that is sensitive, but some people don't discuss it enough. Sexual preferences.
Well, I should hope that if it's a man and he's talking to a woman, that is his sexual preference.
Mm-hmm.
I should really hope so. But then if he has other, then he needs to be upfront about it. I think that people should be honest in they should be honest in the very beginning. What's the point in hiding things when eventually it's going to pop out anyway?
Right.
Well, I mean, what do you gain by keeping certain things as a secret when, if that's who you are, it's coming out sooner or later anyway? Better sooner than later. It's according to the discernment of the individual that you're associated with.
Well, those individuals feel that it's much to gain. They're gaining the time and attention of the person that they set their sights on. There may be some type of financial gain associated with why they don't fully disclose what their real intentions are.
That's why
there are a lot of times that people don't know how to communicate what's really going on with them, and they would prefer to wait until the very last minute and then let stuff happen to you. And then that is the way that you find out what's really going on, which I feel that's a very cowardly way to conduct and govern one's life.
That's my opinion. Well, let me tell you something. All of that is true. All of that can be a part of the scenario. But let's hope that the kind of individual that you would associate or find yourself associating with would be above and beyond that kind of subterfuge. I mean, it doesn't gain anything. And then sooner or later, it's going to come out. Either you will figure it out and then have to confront them with it. And then what? Then you're with somebody who wouldn't tell you the truth up front, so now what? Before you get into all of this real intimate stuff, these things need to be on the table, with the cards need to be played on the table face up so it can be read. And there need to be understanding. See, and that settles a whole lot of stuff. That clears away a lot of stuff.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
And I realize it might sound a little harsh, but it's not as harsh as somebody finding out sometime down the road after they have become involved because they got all emotional, because that's what it really is, lustfully emotional. And
uh-huh.
then we find out that this is the case, or these people are into other stuff. And then what? It's better for, you know, it's better for you to have that little twinge of pain in the beginning, and then rock on, than to be fooled along or fool yourself. Because most of the time, people have a gut feeling, and you need to go by your gut feeling.
Yes, you do. Because if you don't go by your gut feeling,
you know, when you
can wind up in a whirl of trouble.
Something is off. Something is wrong here. You need to figure out what that is, or
mm-hmm.
even confront the person. I don't feel there's something not right. It's something not, you know, what is this? And then if they come out with it or if they don't come out with it, as long as you still have that nudge, that gut feeling that, well, it feels like it might be all right, but there's something not right here, you need to pay attention to that.
And paying attention, I don't mean to cut you off or another lead, but I just want to make mention to that, because I can attest to how a person can manipulate you by distracting you, because they don't want to give disclosure. And when you're not paying attention and looking and see it, you must remove the cataracts. Your eyes must be dilated. And you have to see everything. Your periphery, you cannot have tunnel vision when you're entering into a dating/relationship with someone. You have to go in with eyes wide open. You have to go in with ears wide open. It can't just be about the love. It can't be about the void that had existed before that person came along. You must be paying attention. And that is part of the theme for Bree Life Radio. For my young listeners, especially the young women. We had a very nice young woman by the name of Ashley. She works, she goes to school, and she's a nice young woman. But she's already dealing with the fragazy fragonacle of the world. And my talk to her, she didn't take it personally, might have come across harsh, but it's because I feel so passionate about this one aspect. Whether you're young or old or in between, sometimes when you've not had fulfilled a part of your life in terms of companionship, sometimes what I've been told by some people, your standard is too high. You need to be a little more flexible or lower it a little bit. And at first, when I was young, I was stubborn, and I was like, oh, hell no, I'm not lowering my standard. But when I got a little older and some life happened to me, you know, that you find yourself caught with your guard down. So you start lowering to the point where there is no standard, and people have they have access to you that normally they would not have if you kept your standard exactly where it needed to be. And when the basics become a high standard, that's where I have a problem, because the basics of common decency, passion, care, and attention, when that becomes a high standard, then what type of world are we really living in? That's all Bree is going to say for right now. But, you know, that was a very important point on Upperly that you made about the attention, because we don't always pay it.
So the thing is this, there comes a time, you're not with the person 24/7, and there comes a time when you're by yourself and you need to listen to yourself and hear what it is that you have to say within yourself about how you feel about that individual. And as far as standards are concerned, when you keep a high standard, sooner or later, whatever it is that doesn't meet with your standard is going to fall away from you, and well, it should. Just hold on, because somebody with the same standards or even a higher standard than you is going to come along, someone who you can respect and who has respect for you. But if you lower your standard, then the individual, first of all, the very thing, the very standard that you hold is what attracted them to you in the first place. And if they can't come up or don't try to come up to your standard, then, oh, well, see ya. I wouldn't want to be ya.
Right, right. Well, you know what? Well, hold on one moment, because for the first time in the history of Real Life Radio, we've tilted the scales where we've had more women engaging in conversation than men. But I noticed that I have another one of our favorite callers, Big C from Philadelphia, calling in. Let's bring him into the conversation, because it'd be interesting to hear the dynamic of a gentleman and a scholar. So with further ado, I want to introduce to my listeners Big C from Philadelphia.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. Peace and blessings. How are you?
I'll let you know in a few minutes. Can I walk into something here?
Well, I want to introduce you to our two guest callers. We have Michelle from Brooklyn, well, originally from Brooklyn by ways of Queens, and we have my aunt Ethel Lee on the line. This is Big C from Philadelphia. Say hello, lady.
Hello.
Good evening, ladies.
Good evening.
Well, Big C, you know we're talking about disclosure tonight on Bree Life Radio. What might you add to the dynamic, to the conversation? Have you been listening to the pearls of wisdom that my aunt has been dropping on us?
Partly. I've heard for the last 10 or 15 minutes, I've been here. I've been on the line. And from what I get, from what I heard, it goes both ways. You know, you look for disclosure.
I'll be right back.
On both sides. You know, I have experience. I would say discomfort of lack of knowing I assumed something without feeling like it wasn't really appropriate to ask. Or to get further clarification, or just let things slip by that you notice. And like one of the other callers said, you must learn to trust your gut feeling in regards to individuals. And I think now I'm at the place and time in my life now where though I'm going to ask those questions. If those questions leads to separation or falling out of favor of that person, then that's a chance I have to take. I mean, I'd rather fall out in the infancy stage of getting to know someone than years down the line or months. And we all know that those months turn into years. And that year turned into another year, and before you know it, you're in something, you're in a relationship, and not really fully understanding or knowing those things that you have in the back of your mind because you didn't speak up or ask in the beginning what you suspect or what you felt.
Do you think that, let's say you found out something about someone that you were involved with for 6 months, but yet you chose to stay with the person, and you remained with them for about a handful of years. And at the end of the relationship, which, of course, in the beginning it didn't start well, and now most relationships, most, don't end well. Do you think that even after some time of separation, that especially for the fact that the person did not give you full disclosure in the beginning, throughout the middle, even though you still were engaged and you were seeing this person on a daily basis operate throughout their life, sort of somewhat in a survival mode, do you think that you should give them further consideration to be in a relationship with them, even in lieu of the fact that they didn't provide you with the disclosure? Do you think that not getting full disclosure at some point in time, you can get over that and then go back?
So
I want to hear from both you, Arnethalee, and Big C.
So the premise that you're giving me now, you're saying about basically you're giving an example of a do-over, what is considered a do-over, or going back into a relationship with somebody, or you're saying this is a relationship that you've been involved in, and you feel as though that the person hasn't been upfront with you about some issues. Is that what you're saying? Which of the matter?
Well, partially both. I believe what I'm saying is you were with someone for a handful of years. At the beginning of the relationship, they were not disclosing what was going on. At the end, they were not really disclosing what was going on. And then you separated from that person, and you've been separated from that person for several months. Do you feel that you should give them any consideration for a do-over, so to speak?
I know I can only speak on my life experiences, and from that I'll gauge this response. Those issues that were there that caused you whatever discomfort or inability to totally immerse yourself with that individual is still there. It has never been addressed. It's always in the back of your mind. It's always going to cause you to a moment of pause. If anything that is involved in a relationship is going to give you a moment of pause, and you're not being true to yourself, and then not being true to yourself, you're not being true to the other individual as well. I've been involved in something like that, where the person didn't disclose friendships and things of that was going on behind the scenes, and it kind of ate away at the relationship, and it caused some friction it seems to taint you for your next relationship. And that's what, you know, individuals that don't, you know, like, seeking an individual with no baggage or whatever. We all have some sort of baggage, whether it be trust issues, of whatever level, whatever, you know. So I would say, as an overall, you know, you have to judge on your own merit and how you feel. But I wouldn't do that again.
Okay.
If it's something what? I came across, then no, because you're wasting time. Time, you cannot get back time.
No, you cannot. And
by yourself,
what?
Dwelling on with individuals.
Okay. So what say you on Ethelene? What do you think about that whole scenario?
I agree entirely with him. If someone has kept something away from you that has eroded your relationship, and especially after any long period of time, lost time is never found again, and time is very valuable. You can't really engage with that person in an honest way. You'll always be thinking, well, what else is it that they didn't tell me?
Mm-hmm.
It might be something you didn't think to ask. You know, it might be something that you really didn't think to ask, that they should have been forthcoming at the onset. But there again, it goes with your gut feeling. It's always there. And if you have something that's holding you back over periods of years, that's not a good relationship. You're supposed to be free in your relationship, free and loving and kind and considerate, and there should be no holdbacks. And if there are any, then that's not something that you want to give any long period of time to. I agree with the young man what he said. The one thing I don't agree with, I think that when you have had these experiences, what part of that you play and try to fall into that same situation again and don't carry that baggage over into the next. In other words, don't put everybody's different, because everybody is different. And again, we all do have baggage, but we have to try to serve ourselves up as much baggage as possible so that we don't have that residue following us. The person is gone out of your life, and you're still, you know, they still have power over your life. That's not good. That's not good.
Okay. And Squeak? Are you still there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. What do you think about the scenario that I described?
Okay. Sorry about that. I was on mommy and intermission.
No, that's okay.
So I heard part in some of what he was saying, but she's right. You don't have to carrying on that baggage to someone else. That part I agree on.
Well, the scenario was that a person didn't disclose their entire situation in the beginning, and the relationship was built on that. At the end of the relationship, after a handful of years, of course, it didn't end well. And
right.
After being separated from that person for several months, do you think that individual should give the person who did not fully disclose what was going on in their life any further consideration? Should they do a do-over?
No, I think that's up to the individual. Yeah. I don't know. In the beginning, it's really up to that individual. But in the beginning, if the person didn't do that, I don't know if they're going to change or not. So it's up to the individual if they want to feel that they can do that and give them another chance.
You know, I also want to kind of revisit a couple of things that we talked about, but I'd like to get the male perspective. So, Big C, if you,
I don't know how you said you were only listening in 15 minutes before you began to speak, but I started the show by giving certain definitions of what disclosure is defined by society. And, you know, what do you think is the appropriate amount of disclosure that one that a man should give to a woman within the first 30 days? We're using the first 30 days as the gauge because in typical dating situations, especially today, especially with there being so many distractions, whether it's just, you know, in day-to-day life or whether people are internet dating, there are so many multiple distractions. So that being said, when you're dating someone in the first 30 days, what do you think is appropriate to disclose?
Okay. Particularly the first 30 days, you have to really ask, dating is what it is, dating. You're not in a relationship. Basic information that I think that is all, I mean, which is proper, your name, you know, contact information, what you do for a living, you know, like basic information, because, you know, you're also looking at the dangers in society today with the identity fraud and things of that nature. It's just like, I mean, what more information is required at that stage? Because, you, like you say, you're dating. You're not in a relationship. During the dating stage, you're pretty much going through the hee-hee-ha-ha stage. You're getting to know whether or not this person is kind of a match for you, you know, the things they like to do, their outlooks on life, their views on religion, their views on child rearing, their views on rearing or even having children. Do they like pets? Do they like this type of food? What type of residence or housing they, you know, they desire? What are their, you know, what are their dreams? What do they aspire to be, career wise, personally, and things of that nature? Pretty much that's what you're doing. You're trying to see whether or not this person is compatible to you. Okay. I think once you establish that you are in a monogamous relationship, then I think it is safe to kind of be more forthright with personal information about yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then what do you think is too much information? Because there are those that would say that one can disclose too much in the very beginning, which might run people off or, you know, place questions or concerns with an individual. What types of individual information would you say that's a little bit too, not a little bit or a lot of it, too much?
You're saying as far as that it will potentially scare someone off?
Well, I mean, typically, you know, some people says that they might use the term of TMI, too much information. What do you think in the first 30 days could be considered too much information? Does anyone, you know, on the line have any thoughts about what could be considered too much information?
To me, well, And the infancy stages of getting to know someone, giving financial and personal information, financial and other
personal information. Do you feel that you should disclose how much you make in the first 30 days?
Hell no.
Excuse me? Okay. Do you feel that, if you've been married more than one time,
yeah,
do you think
yeah,
that that's something
that, yeah.
that someone should have the right to know?
Yeah. They should know that. They should know that. They should know that from the gate.
Okay. Do you feel that, okay, let's talk about this. Do you feel that a person...
Okay, let me revisit about how much you make. For one, once a person understands what you do for a living, that pretty much will give them an idea as to
right.
what is, you know, what is your income.
Right on.
There are some professions that, you know, you're telling someone that you mm-hmm. like, you're telling someone you're a business consultant. You know, that can run a gamut from minimum to phantasmagorical salary.
Mm-hmm.
But information such as your past, whether you're married, I mean, you've been married, and if you're married, and I come across a lot of people saying they're separated. Okay, you're separated, but you're still married.
Mm-hmm.
When you get divorced, then give me a ring. Because basically,
okay.
you're still married.
Okay.
Anything else?
Okay, what about your credit? The condition of your credit. Is that something that a person should know in the first 30 days?
No.
Well, if not, when? When do you think is appropriate to start sharing?
When you are in a relationship.
Okay. No matter how long it takes to come to the conclusion that you're in a relationship.
Well, I mean, you're dating. So if
mm-hmm.
you're dating, and every person you date, you give them your full 411. I mean, after a while, depending on your aggressive behavior or track record, there may be a percentage of the city that you reside in that would know everything about you.
Okay. Very good. I wanted to kind of talk about, I wanted to touch on revisit one of our favorite subjects and one of our favorite callers, Mark from Houston, Texas, because this disclosure thing also touches on a lot of points that he makes about dating multiple people or engaging in conversation with multiple people at the same time. So, what do you think about the disclosure of that? Do you think it's appropriate to tell each person that, hey, I'm dating or I'm in the getting to know stages of another individual? And you know what, Carl? I mean, Big C, I don't want you to answer that question. I wanna hear from the lady. Well, I've already heard really from Squeak on this issue. I want to hear from you on Ethelie. How do you feel about that? I mean, is that something that when you were dating that happened between men and women?
were men very open about being in more than one relationship or being in more than one, paying attention to more than one woman at a time?
But you have to state, it there's a difference between relationships and dating.
Well, dating or relationships, either one, it requires disclosure.
If you're in a relationship.
The question that I'm asking is that something that happened when you were single? And did you experience that? Or did you know people that experienced a man who told a woman that there were two or three other women waiting in the wings for him?
There were always what we used to call playboys, guys who, had a ton of women. But it was up to the woman if she wanted to be bothered with him. Most women, and then when you say relationships and dating, I'm sort of like, what do you mean? If you're in a relationship or if you're just dating with someone, you're just going out with these different people, then it really doesn't matter, especially if you're not being intimate. But then if you're in a relationship and you have a real close and intimate relationship, then you shouldn't be running around with four or five different women, especially in this day and age of HIV and AIDS and all the rest of the other stuff that's hanging around. So I don't, it's a different time. It's a different era and it's a different time. Women would have three or four different friends that they would be seeing, but they weren't having intimate relationships with them. They were going out. They were going to parties. They were going to dances, to the movies or whatever it was. But once they got into something that was really intimate, and there wasn't, it was, first of all, it took a guy, now I'm going to date myself, a year to get intimate. He had to go through it. He had to win a lady over. And you couldn't win her over in 30 days. So, you know.
Really? What was the standard amount of time that was considered when courting? How much time was the average time?
First of all, most people didn't really have intimate relationships unless they were engaged to be married. That was the ultimate. That was what you were going to do. So you didn't, you didn't just give your clothes away to anybody just on a whim. But I realize that this is the 21st century and people are doing things a whole lot different than they did at that time. But some of those things really need to, especially in view of the health factor that one has to recognize in these days and times, I think that's something that really needs to be brought back. In fact, I understand that some of these young people today are taking vows of chastity until they get married, and I think it's a good thing. I really do. I really think it's a good thing. So,
well, that's a conversation that I really would like to maybe kind of veering off of the disclosure factor. And, you know, since we have the luxury of having a seasoned person on the line, what do you think about how men and women sort of today, so to speak? Because I always hear from my aunties and my uncles that, you know, life is different now than it was when they were younger. And men and women didn't do this, that, and the other thing. Well, what do you think about how men and women, their rules of engagement, meaning how you alluded earlier, to the fact that a man is going to ask you for something in the first 30 days, so you should kind of feel free to ask him for something. I mean, is that really how it went down?
No.
You know, then, or are you just making a comment as to what you think is fair?
Let me say this. I agree wholeheartedly with most of the things that the young man was saying. If you meet somebody, you're supposed to be open and upfront with them, and you disclose all of these things. If they know what kind of work you do, they have an idea or should have an idea of how much money you make. I don't expect somebody to say I make $500,000 a year if that's what they're making. But if they're in a business where that could be, you know, it's highly probable, then you can figure that out for yourself. But really and truly, it is a lot of difference in the way people are engaged in the whole social strata years ago and the way they do it today. And I don't think that it's a very, you know, I don't think it was such a terrible thing. You have more than 50% of divorces today. People getting married, they're getting married, 72 days that girl got married the other day?
Uh-huh.
And I mean, what is the point? Where is the commitment? If you're married to somebody and you gain 2 pounds more than you had when you got married, they don't want to be bothered with you and all this kind of craziness. These people are in love, just Hollywood in love fantasy, but they don't know really what love is. Because when you're in love, you can fall out of love. But when you love someone, it doesn't matter whether they, as they get older, everybody, I see these men get big bellies and bald heads, and but if a woman, if her stomach is extended after she had 2 or 3 of his children, then suddenly he's looking for a younger addition. All this stuff is incredible. It's incongruous to me. I mean, it really is. And it's very hard for people who are serious about commitment to find other people who have the same kind of seriousness about commitment. It's very hard. I feel sorry for young people today because it seems as though the fellas as well as the girls, you know, I meet a lot of young men who have the same cry about, they say, these girls, they want anything. They want these thugs. They want these bad boys, you know. And then girls will say, well, the guys are not, you know, they don't want a decent girl. And it's sad. It's really sad. I don't even know what what can be done to change it. But I do know, and I did say this to you on other occasions, Bree, that really women set the standard for men. They really do. And if a woman keeps herself in high, she has a high esteem of herself. I'm not talking about somebody who thinks she's cute and she's somebody who holds herself with respect, dignity, and high esteem, and she demands that from whoever her partner is, then the men are going to follow whatever it is. They're going to follow the woman. They have always have, and they always will.
They're going to follow the women or they're going to move around.
What?
That's what they're going to do.
They can move around.
And that's okay.
They can move around. They can move around because there's women whose standards are lower. And men are men. You understand?
Mm-hmm. They won't.
And so and very few men, it's hard to find a man who's looking for quality in a woman. They are looking for quantity, especially when they're young men. After they get a certain age, they might be looking more for something for a commitment and for a quality woman, and so they might be setting their standards for a little higher. But really and truly, these are some tough times when it comes to the male and female, that kind of the two of them coming together. It's hard. It's really hard. Hard to find people. You know, I'll tell you something. When 9/11 came out, I used to say, oh, gosh, I don't know what it is. Everybody seems to be getting a divorce. Nobody wants to stay married. Nobody. But then when 9/11 came, I realized so many of those people, most of those people were married people, had been married for long periods of time, had was in love, they had families, they had a piece of the so-called American dream. And it didn't matter whether they were white, black, or grizzly gray, they were all trying to live a decent life, on a more level plane than what it is that I see in my everyday excursions and what you read about all the time in the paper or any of these rag magazines. So there must be some hope somewhere along the way, but really it's hard. I see so many young women by themselves and young men by themselves because they don't want to reduce themselves to the lowest common denominator and just pick up with anything and can't find a decent person. They can't even, you can't even find a decent person in the church. You might do better if you go to a bar. Who knows? You know, it's very hard. It's hard. It's very hard. You have to be very discerning. You have to be very careful. You have to know exactly, like I said earlier, what it is you want in a person. And you have to be that kind of an individual. You have to be the kind of person that you have to look and see if you would date you if you were on the opposite side of the fence. You know, you understand what I'm saying? If you're that type of individual, if you're that type, or are you somebody who you would run away from? You know, you have to know who you are and be who you are, and then you will attract. If you hold out, deliverance will come.
Well, we have another caller. I want for this person to jump on the line. Let's see who this caller is. Peace and blessings. You have reached Free Life Radio. I'm your hostess, Bree. We're talking about disclosure tonight. Who may I have the pleasure of speaking to?
Oh, this is Pianki. How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Well, let me ask you a question. You're talking about disclosure, but first you have to meet somebody or have somebody that information can be disclosed between the two of you. But listening to the problems, what caused all these problems where you have such a shortage? I guess you could say it's a shortage because when you talk about just wait a while, it means that the pickings are slim. Why is that?
Why is that? Well, that is the question of the ages. I mean,
a lot of reasons. There's a lot of reasons. A lot of reasons for the women. A lot of our men are incarcerated, and then it's a lot of reasons. There's so many reasons. Political reasons. There's a lot of reasons.
Well, I think first of all, if I may. I think our biggest problem with one another, men and women, is that we don't really know how to communicate very well with each other. I think we don't listen to what the other is saying sometimes. I don't think we're examining each other's body language and really paying attention to one another. I think most oftentimes we become distracted by what we see or distracted for what we're looking for in a person. And we don't really take enough time to hear what the person is saying, what their dreams and aspirations are. And then when we find that there is a point where we're not on the same page, I think people are not brave enough to say so. And instead of disclosing that, you know what, I think you're a great person, but I just don't think you're right for me, but I wish you well. It doesn't have to be a bunch of drama and calling each other out of name to walk away. You can do it amicably. But the point is that it's necessary to do it because you don't want to block somebody else's blessing.
because you're not happy with the individual or the person is not meeting your needs. So just to touch on, you know, what the problem is, I think foundationally the problem is the lack of communication that takes place between a man and a woman.
Well, you know, first of all, you got to have to get two in front of each other. And like the other lady mentioned about one of the reasons why there is a shortage, you know, the fact of incarceration and the natural off out of balance between male and female that occur between you know, just that's just the way it is. You're always going to have more women than males, but we have such a unbalance in, you know, amongst Black and African Americans here in the United States that is phenomenal. And then also the other issue is abortion. Between 1973 to 2005, Black women aborted over 18 million babies. And our population today is, some people say 36 million up to 42 million. Well, that's over half your population. And if that 18 million had been allowed to live, their numbers probably would have multiplied to maybe like, say, 40 million, maybe 45 million. So now we would have had probably 80 million here in the country. And then your chances of finding a husband would have been a whole lot more in your favor. So...
Ain't that something? Yes.
But, you know, all kidding aside, though, these type of social issues, and it's really a lot had to fall to the lap of Black society because they dropped the ball tremendously in not maintaining. Because when I grew up, you couldn't find nobody on the block. I only knew one lady in a two block area that wasn't married. Everybody was married. Okay. I married my 10-year-old sweetheart and was with her for nearly 40 years until she passed away. Okay. So it's a problem that we tended to ignore.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're paying the consequences for that. And it's just, things are just totally out of whack.
Let me say something.
Well, would you, if I may, just for a second, would you also say that it's also due to men and women not having a standard or lowering their standards?
Well, first of all, the way the situation is now, a woman cannot raise a boy into becoming a man. If that could happen, you wouldn't be having the conversation we're having tonight to the greatest extent. I'm not throwing no blame on women because much blame belongs to the male too. But if you don't have the mechanism in place to produce that male, then you're just flipping the coin and hoping that through TV and media and all other means that a male will be produced. And that just don't happen. Another point, too. You as a woman, how do you know if you got a good male? If you have never seen that worked out between your mother and your father because you never had a father at home.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a fair question. But here's what I say. And you can, you know, tell me honestly what you think about it. When I was dating a gentleman in particular, that was the same, and I'm going to use the word excuse that he gave me for not doing certain things. And I think it's unfair that at a certain point in your life when you already know what your disadvantage was, that you didn't do anything about it, because you can't keep blaming your parents or the lack of having a parent present for what's not in you. If you know certain things are not in you, like certain languages are not in us. Certain cultures are not in us. But if you have an aspiration to want to better yourself and to want to treat the people around you at large better, then you do something about that. You learn something. So this was my response to him, because I made mention of that. And he said, well, I didn't grow up seeing my father treat my mother a certain way, so you can't expect me to treat you a certain way. I said, the hell I can't, because you know what? That's what mass media is for. We have we have tools to learn. We have the internet and we have television. We have universities. You want to learn how to how a black woman wants to be treated by her black man? Get the Cosby box set. Start with that and work your way up. But just to say that's a good point
you got there. Now
you shouldn't even try. You shouldn't even try to learn good manners or etiquette, that how a woman should be treated, because you didn't see your father treat your mother a certain way. That's a cop out. That's all I have to say about that.
Well, that's a good point you got there about getting the going online and ordering the Cosby series. They probably could learn something.
I mean,
never thought
about
that.
I mean, and I mean, if you want to look at examples of how men should be raising their sons and daughters, and how men should be treating their potential wives or spouses, that's for the black experience. I say for every culture, that television show was phenomenal. It was the best thing that happened for us, because it gave society at a large an opportunity to see that we're not animals, that we're real people that are educated, have professions, we have children. We believe in the American dream, too. We believe in wanting to eventually get married and have a spouse and have children and to live a beautiful life.
But when he came out, we were doing it. But, you know, to have two doctors in the house was not a reality. But, you know, you mentioned something else, too. You remember how our records used to be back in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s with the Temptations and the Four Tops, and all we done was sung How We Loved You.
Mm-hmm.
Now they sing about how they hate you. It's totally whack.
This is true. We have another caller, if I may.
Could you leave me on? I wanted to mention something else, too. Don't...
Oh, yes. No, I'm not going to disengage your call. Hold on, please. You've reached Bree Life Radio. I'm your hostess, Bree. Season blessings. We're talking about disclosure, but our conversation took a little turn. Who may I have the pleasure of speaking to tonight?
Oh, that's very honorable. This is Mr. Solution. How are you?
Mr. Solution. Well, I love a person that doesn't believe in problems. They believe in solutions. So there it is. Bree Life said it. How are you tonight?
I'm well. Thank you for asking. As I often say, there's a communication problem, and it's on both sides. Now, you told the gentleman just now, and hopefully I can balance this, you told him how a man might learn how to treat a woman by going up. And I agree with that, by the way. Was that an Eddie noise, or was that someone?
No, that was me chiming in, saying that I welcome the turn and a comment from you stating that it works both ways.
And absolutely. And what we often do, we think that the man can pull all the weight of a relationship, but that's not true. You can have a perfect man and you can have a warped woman and you've got a problem. So women need to also look at their often unvisited obligation or responsibility toward the man. It just can't be the man's responsibility toward her, otherwise she becomes a taker, and she's not a participant, and she's certainly not a giver. So we have to talk about that. And the communication right now is controlled by the woman. So she determines.
Well, yes, it is Bree Life Radio, and you are free. So, yes, it is controlled by me moving around. But I still, sir, I hear what you're saying, and I want to bring a point up that one of my favorite callers made mention to on a previous show. She asked me, did I feel that my standards were high, and would I ever be willing to compromise them or adjust them? And
well,
I
what are they? Let's
the
hear
standard.
Them. And I,
Well, no. I won't go up to the standard, but this is what I said about how I feel about the man. I have not a problem because I know who I am, and I know the value I bring to the relationship. Because you are absolutely right in saying that it can't be imbalanced, that both people have to be responsible and they have to be present. They have to be participants. This is about building a partnership. When people ask me what type of relationship I want, the first word I use to describe it is a partnership.
Right.
So
that's a good word.
So I concur with your ideology on that perspective because it is so important for women also to make what their intentions and what they want because this goes back to communication. You must
right.
Be
Allow
clear.
Me to make another point, if you don't mind, something
yeah.
that you guys dealt with, and that is the paucity of available men. That's not true. There are plenty of men out there. Now, we may need to do a study. A lot of what we say is anecdotal, and I have seen some studies. I take that back. But the point of it is women generally don't want good men. Women want men that fit their idea of fun and excitement and drama, but that doesn't necessarily have to be good.
Mr. Solution, I have to disagree with you. From my experience, and I work with a lot of young men, these young men that's males are not men. And a man is the one, it's up to the men to provide the stability to the society. In every ethnic group you see, that happens itself in ours today. It mm-hmm. always have happened in the past. My daughter came with three men that she wanted to marry. And she asked me, is this one I can marry, Daddy? The first two I said no. And after she introduced me to the third one, about 3 months later, I said yes. So it's the male's responsibility to bring stability to the community.
But she did find one. See, that's the point I don't hear. She was able to find one. Now, but she found him, and then you ended up approving him. But see, this is the other thing that many of us are ignorant of because we don't even feed and clothe ourselves. The law gives women equal power. So that changes the power dynamic. You cannot overlook that. The law has the most power and influence over all of us. So when women have equal power under the law, and see, black women or black men don't get their resources from their communities. They get their resources outside of the community. So black women have welfare, they have corporate jobs, and they have mostly government jobs. So their power is coming from another source, and you generally value that which supports you. So since neither the black man or the black woman generally has the economic clout, that is community-based businesses, to support themselves, they're constantly at war and in derision with each other. And we have
We didn't have business neither now. Don't forget that. We basically had jobs. And it depends if you let the law interfere with your vows. I mean, the vows that they say, it doesn't even apply. It doesn't even mention the law. But a strong relationship, a man that's able to establish a strong home, the law is just the law that's outside. What goes on in that home is home between that man and his family.
That's not true at all. That's not true at all. The reason for that is
that's only true when both
all a woman has to do is go to
business inside.
But can you hear me? All the woman has to do is go to court, and the court can overrule anything the man has said and side with the woman.
So why would she go to court?
That's not true.
Why would she go to court?
Oh,
I know that's not true.
That's another discussion, but as don't let me put on my angry man hat, but there the court system, particularly when it comes to this domestic issues, have a historical record of always siding a high percentage with the woman.
All right,
I must interject. Let me just make a point, and this is something that can be researched. In the history of the world, there has never been a time more so than now that men are getting custody of their children.
That's right.
Okay? And also in domestic issues, their voice are beginning to be heard louder because of a lot of the new dynamics that are taking place with domestic violence and the laws surrounding that. So to say that the scales are always more tilted towards the woman is not really a realistic view or vantage point of what's going on in the system right now.
I would beg to differ with you. It absolutely is true that the woman gets the advantage, and there's a reason for that. But the other thing is that when women, remember I just said, women control the conversation early on, and that's very important. So there's no discussion about sex, no discussion about money, there's no discussion about conflict resolution, there's no discussion about division of labor. So what happens is, since the woman is controlling the communication, now a good guy can't talk about those things unless she allows, because she'll reject him.
Oh, wow.
The bad guy doesn't care to talk about real issues because he's just seeing her as a piece of tail.
Have you ever sat in on any conflict resolution between a husband that he's having at home?
Excuse me?
You missed the solution.
No, what was your question? You broke up.
I asked, have you ever sat in amongst some men? Somebody's playing with the telephone.
Go ahead.
I said, have you ever sat in on a discussion amongst men when you had one central man that was having problems at home?
I've sat in on some discussions about it, but if you mean an actual man that was having marital problems, yes, I have, sure. Yes.
And I have, too. I've sat in quite a few of them. I ain't going to say 100 of them, but I've sat in almost maybe 20 in my lifetime. And that's the way problems were solved, brought to the attention in our neighborhood. When a man had problems at home, he would go to the other male in the family and discuss those problems. It would be
Absolutely.
Very unrare when those things would go to court.
Absolutely. But see, this is the thing now, and because we don't have a model for discussing issues before we get in a marriage, that's a real problem too. We can't talk before we get in a marriage. And if you haven't talked before you get in a marriage and dealt with real issues, they're going to blow the marriage out the water. So that's what I'm talking about. And these issues have to be discussed early on. And all I'm saying is men and women are going to have to talk about this. And do you agree that the woman holds the greatest sway in terms of communication early on?
Well, it never had been that way with me. I always led conversation. Not that I was being chauvinistic, but I had interesting conversation to throw out there.
Okay. Well, that's where we're going to leave off at tonight on Free Life Radio. I want to thank all our guest callers for calling in. And these two gentlemen that called in towards the latter part of our conversation, I want to invite you to come back to the show tomorrow for Freestyle Thursday so that we can continue this conversation, because I really believe that it's one that needs to be had between the sexes. So at this point, I want to wish you all peace and blessings. My name is Bree. You've reached Bree Life Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Bree Life. Follow us on Facebook at Bree Life. And leave your questions and concerns at BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com. Good night.
And good night. Peace and love.
Good night.
Good night. Please come back tomorrow.